together as touching this, asking you for direction, for the anointing, for revelation, for utterance, for answers, for all of us, eyes and ears and heart and mind that can see and hear and discern and understand. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud,
I have
eyes that can see,
ears that can hear,
and a heart that understands. Amen. You can be seated. You know, Jesus would tell people he preached to oftentimes, he would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, that meant not everybody did. Go with me, if you would, to the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. Are you in a big rush right now? Are you? Yeah, just relax and let's enjoy. We paid the electric bill and the air conditioning is working. And how many thankful for air conditioning? Whew. You could have been born back in the 1600s.
Yeah.
But no, here we are sitting up in air-conditioned comfort with a cushion on the chair and carpet on the floor. And somebody say, I'm glad to be here. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now. I think this is our 16th part. So if you haven't been with us, go online to faithlife.org. Go to the Word Supply, and all the previous 15 lessons are there. We're building on what came before. I believe it would benefit you to go back and look at those, listen to them. No charge to you at all. It's available. We've been talking about the fear of the Lord. Now, if you've read the Bible much, you've come across that phrase.
Amen.
The fear of God. Fear of the Lord, fearing God, people who didn't fear God. And what does that mean? And what is that? Because as charismatic people and Word of Faith people, there's been a lot of emphasis in past years on not fearing. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. So how do we reconcile that? Fear, don't fear. Well, that's when we first began the series, we all stood up and prayed and asked the Lord to teach us about this. And I believe he has been. And he is. So the further I go into it, the more important I see that it is. And the more how ignorant our current generation is and the world is, not knowledgeable of this. And it's a serious thing. In Psalm 34 and 7, he said, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them." So here's protection to those that fear the Lord. So does the angels of the Lord, do they encamp round about all human beings on the planet? Do they deliver everybody? No, they don't. They don't. Those that fear him. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Is that you?
Yes.
Then he says again, oh, fear the Lord. He brings it up again. Fear the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. What is that? How do you do that? How do you do it well? How do you do it properly? Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Within just a couple of verses, here we see protection and provision if you fear the Lord. That alone should be enough to motivate you to want to find out more about this. Right?
Amen.
Fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want. Don't you like the sound of that? How much want?
None.
No want. To them that fear Him. He goes on to say, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. The youngest and strongest of the strong. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 11. Come ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. And if it can be taught, it can be learned. And like I said, if you haven't been with us, if this is your first joining us on this series, let me encourage you, go and listen to some of those previous messages, because there's a lot of foundational things laid that have already happened up to this point. In the book of Proverbs, we begin to see a contrast. Proverbs 1 and 7, we saw, in defining what fear, the fear of the Lord is. And we said, you can learn what something is by learning what its opposite is, what it's not. And here he says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. But fools... And see, he's contrasting a wise person from a fool. And a fool in these writings, that's not just name calling. That's not just a slander. It's describing somebody who is clueless, who doesn't know why what's happening is happening with them and around them, and who is causing their own problem and don't even see it.
Right.
Don't even realize it, don't know how to fix it. And here he's saying, here would come wisdom and instruction to a person who didn't know to help you to get out of it and get fixed and get victorious, but a fool will despise that help. I want to hear you say, I'm not a fool. God helps me to not be a fool. Well, the opposite of being a fool despises, put it back up please, despises wisdom and instruction. Well, then what would a person who has the fear of the Lord, what would they do? Instead of despising it, they're going to treasure it, right? They're going to hold it in high esteem. And they're going to respond in that way, even if it's correcting you. When you realize what it is, it's wisdom and instruction from God, you should say, thank you, right? And you should go, wow, now I know what to change. Now I know how to get out of this. So fools despise wisdom and instruction. Those who fear the Lord do the opposite. They reverence these things. Now, later on here in Proverbs, in the, let's see, 13th chapter, 13th verse, Proverbs 13:13. He said, whoever despises the word, what's going to happen to him? Proverbs 13:13, it's up now. Whoever despises the word, will they be okay?
No.
No, they won't be okay. They'll be destroyed. He that fears the commandment. Can you see? He's drawing a contrast here. Opposites. He that fears the commandment, he won't be destroyed. He'll be rewarded. Now, I'm about to make a very big statement. Are you awake? Are you listening? You're my, every human being on the planet's entire life and eternal existence is determined by our response to His words. Whether we have a blessed life or a terrible life, whether we die and go to heaven or hell, is not up to God. Are y'all listening? He left it up to us. He really gave human beings a free will. If you don't believe that, you're going to be wrong about all kind of other things. No. God is not forcing people to choose Him or listen to Him or respect Him or obey Him. But our entire life, from our entire life on this planet and our eternity after this life, is being determined by our response to His words. You and I see you in the church house. So I can safely assume that most everybody here, you respect God.
Yes.
You respect His word, or you wouldn't be here.
That's right?
Yes. Most likely.
Right.
Uh-huh. And if you got here by accident, well, you're in a good place.
Yes, you are.
I'm telling you, you thought it was an accident, but God's got a plan for you. He's helping you out. But we won't, and He won't, try to make you respect it or believe it or receive it. And you can deny it. You can try to believe that God doesn't exist. You can mock and make fun of the Bible. You can mock and make fun of the gospel in the church for a little while. And then you're going to die.
Right.
And then you're going to find out. And it won't matter what you thought you believed.
Right.
People talk about, well, my truth. There ain't no such thing as your truth or my truth. There's the truth. It's either true or it's not. And no matter how much you believe it, doesn't make it true. No matter how loud you shout it, doesn't make it true. And it's true, whether you believe it or not, or whether you ever believe it or not, it'll still be true. True is true. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Which is why we should so reverence His words, because it's light in a dark place. Hallelujah. Even though everybody's got a varied idea and opinion and belief about things, instead of being hopelessly confused our whole life and hoping this is right and not sure and don't know, find out what He said and you got it. You can forget about the rest of it. Hallelujah. Whoever despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, there's so much to say about this, but go with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians 1. If you don't respect God's word, then you don't respect God. Period. People try to say they do. And there'll be people that mock the scripture and make fun of scripture and then try to tell you that they're a Christian. But they are not. I know that's a big statement, but I didn't make it. The scripture made it. 1 Corinthians 1, are you there? In 1 Corinthians 1, he's talking about the gospel. And he said, let's see, verse 18. For the preaching of the gospel of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. It's foolishness to who? Perish means you're on your way to destruction, to being destroyed. It's the same word used for going to hell. And if somebody thinks the gospel is foolish, are there a lot of people in the earth today that think that? Oh, yeah. Do they mock it?
Yes.
They make fun of it.
Yes.
What do you know about them? They're lost. You don't need a special revelation. You don't need a vision or word of knowledge. Nobody who is saved thinks little of the gospel. Because it was through the gospel that you got saved. Right? And you know, the gospel, like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's me. That's you. Right? So the gospel is sacred to us. It is holy to us. It is most precious in our eyes. And if somebody mocks it, belittles it, makes fun of it, they are lost. They have not been born again. They don't know God. And if they don't change, they'll wind up in hell. Now, I know there are people who don't like that. There are people who say, well, you know, they try to act like there is no hell, or a God who is love, how could he send people to a hell? He didn't do it. It wasn't his choice. It's their choice. If you don't want God, there's only one other group.
That's right.
Huh? If you don't want to be with God, there's only one other place to go. And people can say, well, I don't believe all that. Well, like we said before, you not believing it doesn't make it disappear. It's either there or it's not. It's either true or it's not. But what I'm saying is, respect for God and His Word are united. You cannot separate them. In fact, the psalmist said, God has exalted His Word above all His name. How much more could He exalt it? His words are part of Him. They came out of Him. Have you ever read the 119th Psalm? Well, the 119th Psalm is the longest, I think it's the longest verse-wise chapter in the Bible. And every verse is about love for the Word. You know, he just, by the anointing, he waxes eloquent. He said, how love I thy law. It's my meditation. I love it more than silver and gold and all the treasure and... Why? Here's a man, God said, himself was a man after his own heart. This is a man that really knows God and a man who really loves God. And what does he think of God's Word? It's what he wakes up with. Come on, y'all with me. And what he goes to bed with. He loves the Word of God because he loves God. They're inseparable. Anybody in here beside me love the Word of God?
Yes.
I know you do. That's why you're here. So he said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to who? Those that are perishing. So you can tell immediately with people when the subject of God comes up, how they act, how they respond. If they act, you know, like it means nothing to them and like it's an irritant to them, you know right away they don't know God. So instead of just getting mad at them, you're to feel for them. Because if something doesn't change, they will be lost. They are those who are perishing. And so what they need, instead of somebody arguing and fussing with them, pray a prayer for them. You know? Take the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Break the power of blindness and darkness from over that. They don't even have to hear you say this. You can pray this at home by yourself. Break the power of blindness and darkness from off their minds. And ask God to send laborers across their path. Maybe they don't want to hear you, but there's somebody they would listen to. Right? And that's one of the greatest things you could ever do for them. And God will hear that prayer. And He'll enlighten them. And He will bring the gospel to them. And He will help them to see it and bring them right to the place of being saved. Now, it'll still be their choice. And they can reject it if they want to. Somebody said, what if they reject it? As long as there's breath, there's hope. You pray for them again. Right? You ask the Lord to do it again. You do this for your relatives. Do this for your co-workers. Do this for your friends. Can you say amen? The Bible said concerning the word of the Lord. I want you to notice this in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. You can see this word used concerning the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 66 and 1. 66 1 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. I want you to picture that just a moment now. Huh? Look at your foot. And what would be under your foot? Kind of like maybe a basketball. Huh? That's how the earth is to God. The earth is my footstool. So He says, where's the house you're going to build me? And where is the place of my rest? Keep reading. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. Now, let's pause just a minute. The fear of the Lord requires a growing revelation of what God is. What He is. He is God. What does that mean? It is not this goofy religious stuff that a lot of people come up with. If you want to get a glimpse of God, look up in the night sky. Look across the mountain ranges. Across the Pacific Ocean. And that's His footstool. Y'all with me or not? What are we talking about? We saw, you know, these words here that's up over the platform, those that honor me, I will honor. He went on to say, those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. So the opposite of honor, and honor is a part of the fear of God, the opposite of honor, to honor something is to treat it as very important, very valuable. Notice the contrast, lightly esteemed. Treat it like it's nothing. And you'll see the world is full of this over casualness. Huh? Nothing is sacred. Nothing's important. A popular catchphrase a few years ago was whatever. Whatever. Well, God is not whatever. God is everything. And to treat something too loosely, too casually, too lightly is a lack of the fear of God. That doesn't mean that you're afraid He's going to hurt you. Thank God Jesus took care of that for us. Hallelujah. But we need a revelation of who we're calling Father.
Yes.
He is the Almighty who sits on the throne. And he upholds all of our solar system and all of the galaxies and all of the stars and our very breath by the power that comes out of Him, that emanates out of Him and His words. He is awesome, doesn't begin to tell it. Do we need a greater revelation of this? There's been too much flippancy, lightness, just treating the things of God just casually. And like Phyllis, my wife, has said many times, she said, a lot of folks nowadays, they simply see God as an add-on. God as an assist to their life. A help to do what they decide and want to do. No. No. We are here to assist Him, to help Him with whatever He wants done. Come on, are you with me or not? And for Him to even acknowledge us is phenomenal. Right? Of all the billions of human beings on the planet, of all the billions or trillions of created, He has other created beings. He has all these angels and seraphim and all these things. Cherubim. People say, is there life out there? Oh yeah. Oh.
Oh.
There's all kind of stuff happened for, I suppose, billions of years before the earth ever existed. And God has made us a class of being that's not just a servant. We're family. Whew! Sons and daughters with a permanent place in His eternal kingdom. Now, right now, we're in the earliest stages of this. We've been alive this long. We're like preemies. But we're going to keep going.
Amen.
And we're going to keep on going. And as the eons stretch, we're going to still be around and keep going and developing. Said out loud, my Father. God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and earth, is very great. He's very great. You talk in tongues and you can't tell it all. Somebody say, He is so great. He is so great. Now look in Isaiah 66:2. As you get a fuller revelation of this, this is some of the response you will see. He said, all those things my hand made. And like in one verse he said, he's talking about the false gods. And he said, I am God. I am the former. I am the maker. He said, I made it by myself. And he said, I don't know of any other God. Well, God, don't you know everything? Yeah. There is no other God. What about all the other religions of the earth? They are false. If they are not false, the Bible is false. Are y'all with me? No. There are many that are called gods, and they are lies.
Yes.
They are false. It's sad that so many millions believe a lie. There's one God, one Creator, and one Redeemer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One Savior, one Mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Somebody say, my Lord, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. And that's what got you in the family. That's what qualifies you to be in this place. You didn't do it. He did it. He did it. He said, all these things my hand has made and the things, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor, and that's the same word for lowly, and contrite spirit, and does what? Trembles at my word. Then verse 5, he said, hear the word of the Lord, you that what? Tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, they said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed, his enemies. Tremble at the word of the Lord. Now see, this is an even further act of reverence. I've seen this with myself, and I don't claim to have arrived by any stretch. I'm growing in it. But there are numerous times that if I'm preparing to minister to you or some other thing, and the Lord shows me something holy and powerful from his word, I'll go, ooh. Or just right out loud say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. What am I thanking him for? His word. Because his words contain his thoughts. You know, our Bible is in English, at least for many of us, or Spanish or whatever. But it wasn't originally written in English or Spanish. It was written in Hebrew, and is written in Chaldean, and it was written in Greek. And so whether it's a Greek word or a Hebrew word or an English word or a Spanish word or Italian or French word, the container is not the big deal. It's what it contains. And it contains God's thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. And when God enables you, who are so young and who had so many goofy wrong ideas and made so many mistakes, and he allows you to have clarity and understand some of his thoughts, would it be a stretch for you to go, whoo, whoo, glory to God, right? And lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Like the psalmist said, how precious are your thoughts to me, oh God. Somebody say, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to Psalm 2, the second psalm. What are we talking about here, church? The fear of the Lord. Psalm 2 and verse 1. Psalm 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Keep going. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. This is humanity rebelling against God. He that sits in the heavens shall be very concerned. No. If you think, well, isn't God upset with everything that's going on the earth? You got to remember, it's his footstool. Right? So it's not controlling him. He already knows his plan. And their little rebellion is not going to change him. It's not going to do away with him. All they're doing is hurting themselves. And for the devil to keep thinking he can beat God is funny. It's laughable. Huh? You and I need to join God in laughing at the schemes and plans of the devil. I'm telling you, instead of crying and panicking, if you would just dry your eye and go, ha, 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 dumb devil, ha. That's actually very strong faith for you to laugh at it when you feel like crying. Is really strong faith. Keep reading. Look, skip down to verse 11. Serve the Lord with what? Fear. And do what? Rejoice with what? Trembling. Now we need mind renewal in these areas. We ask the Lord to teach us about the fear of the Lord. I believe He is. Fearing the Lord is not being morbid or depressed. Notice this word connected to fearing the Lord. Rejoice. Can you fear the Lord and rejoice at the same time? You should. That's how you should do it. And tremble? Trembling and rejoicing at the same time. Certainly you can. Have you ever had a happy cry? We've already talked about this. The Bible says that the sorrow of the Lord is a good thing towards repentance, but the sorrow of the world works death. Two kinds of sorrow. And he differentiates between the wisdom of God and the earthly devilish wisdom. Well, there is a fear and panic that's the spirit of fear that God didn't give us. You reject that. But there's a good fear of the Lord. Come on, can you see this? A reverence whereby we hold Him in the highest possible esteem and value, but we're rejoicing while we're trembling. Hey, well, you may have to think about that one a little bit, huh? Notice in the same book of Psalms, before we leave here, a phrase that we've talked about the 119th Psalm. Go to 119 and 120. 119, 120 of Psalms. It says, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments, he added. You should be afraid to be lost. You should be afraid of rebelling against God. Yes. And just disobeying God month after month and year after year. Yeah. You should be afraid to do that.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But if you've drawn close to the Lord and if you need to repent, you repented and you love Him and you're holding fast to Him, you have no need to fear judgment. Can you say, thank you, Lord? Because Jesus took our judgment. But He said, my flesh trembles for fear of you. Our flesh is in such a state now that it cannot enter in to the kingdom of God and of heaven. It cannot come before the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15 says it's got to be changed. This mortal has to be changed into immortal. This corruptible has to be changed into incorruptible. And if you think, well, God's my daddy, I love him, and there's no way I'd be shaken and scared around him.
Oh.
you don't know who he is.
Yeah. No.
You don't know what he is. Mm-hmm. Your flesh, the way it is now, if he manifested strong right beside you, your nose would be plastered in the carpet. You wouldn't even think you could move.
Right. Yeah.
And you'd wonder if you had died already.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, well, I just don't know about that. Yeah. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel, chapter 10. Our bodies are mortal and fallen, and they just are not capable of handling the glory of God's manifest presence in the full measure that it is at the throne. Thank God our body's going to be changed. And there'll come a time in the future where you and I can stand in front of the throne of God with a glorified body, hallelujah, and take it all in. But the more we learn of him, the more we'll see how magnificent, how powerful, how great he is. I was looking at something about our sun the other day. You know, it's hot. Do you know, though, it was a lot hotter back in 1919, 1913 than it is now. All these climate alarmists are telling you things that are wrong.
Amen.
1919, 1913, 1936. Hotter. Look it up. And everything on this planet in that regard is driven by the sun. Everything else is a drop in the bucket compared to its effect on it. And, you know, we've sent some outstanding probes in recent years to examine the sun. And have you ever seen the scale of the earth to the sun? I mean, it looks like a little marble beside something this big. And the power that comes out of that every millisecond, and the gravity that takes to pull it back in to just keep it from exploding and go all over the cosmos. I just sat there and watched some of that, and I thought, what kind of power? I mean, if you could capture a can full of that, it would run the state of Florida for 6 months. You see what I'm saying? The power, think about the one who made it. He's got billions of them.
That's right.
Or trillions of them. Plus all, he's keeping it all going. And people say, well, I don't believe that God created it. Well, how did they get here? If you analyze their situation, they believe it created itself. Based on what? That's not science. That's a belief. Based on nothing. Now, you can believe anything you want to. But I'm pretty happy believing the Bible. Somebody said, well, y'all are just those poor, ignorant, you know, Bible thumpers. Hey, leave me alone. I'm happy. I'm enjoying life. And like we said, it's either true or it's not. In Daniel 10 and 5, I want you to notice the effect of glory on the human frame, the mortal body. Daniel was seeking God and fasting, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, a certain man, at least it looked like a man, clothed in linen. His loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. So I guess it'd be all right for you to wear a gold ring or something then. His body was like beryl. So he wasn't white, he wasn't black, he wasn't brown. He was barrel colored. His face looked like lightning. Say what? You can't look at lightning with the naked eye. His eyes were like lamps of fire. His arms and feet looked like polished brass. And the voice of his words sounded like the voice of thousands speaking at once. Now you tell me how cool you gonna be. You meet up with this guy in your bedroom. You're going to be, oh, yeah, like, come on in. Yeah, come on in. Sit up. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Let's look at what would happen with you.
Yeah.
I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The men that were with me, they didn't see the vision, but a great quaking. That's that same word for trembling. Yeah. Trembling and shaking fell on them. You know, that's what happened with the guards at the tomb. You know, our kids demonstrate that for us every year, right? They start shaking and they fell out. They did not intend to do that. I'm talking about the guards. They didn't intend to do that. It just overwhelmed them. A great quaking, shaking and trembling fell on them, and they did what? They ran away. They said, sorry, Daniel, brother, you're on your own, man. These are Daniel's friends who are out there backing him up, seeking God, but this is too much. This is too much. And they didn't even see the beast.
That's right.
They didn't even see him. They just felt the presence of it. So I was left alone, Daniel said, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. My comeliness was turned into corruption. I retained no strength. Daniel is probably the most spiritual man in his generation at the time. Knew as much about God as anybody in his generation. And this is his response. Verse 9. I heard the voice of the words. And when I heard the voice of his words. Now again, what did his voice sound like? Thousands. Multitude is thousands. Of different voices speaking at one time. And yet it was one voice. And if you looked at him, his eyes looked like fire. And his face would look like lightning. And this is just one of God's messengers. The one you call Father is the one who made him.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you can call him Father?
Yes.
He said, I heard the words. I was in a deep sleep on my face. That's like a coma. And my face, he was nose down. Couldn't move. But he can hear the words. And he can feel the power. What about the one who made this being? The Lord is called the Lord of hosts. He has millions of angelic beings. Remember, Jesus said if he'd have called on the Father, he'd have sent legions to help him right then. If he had, we'd be lost. A hand touched me. He couldn't see it. He's face down, immobile. And when the hand touched him, he didn't get up. It set him up. The power picked him up. Put me on my knees and palms of my... So at least he's not prostrate. But he can't look, he can't move. Verse 11. He said, Daniel, what did it sound like? Tell me again. Thousands. A voice like you hadn't heard before. Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for to you I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And everybody said, I guess so. Right?
Yeah.
Huh? Daniel said, then he said, fear not, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard. He said, in other words, don't be shocked. You prayed this. Right? You asked for this. I'm sure he's thinking, who did I? He did not expect it to come this way. When you prayed, God heard you and sent me. This is just one of God's myriad of messengers and angels and beings. Hallelujah. This is who we say is our Father, our Abba. But just because we are afforded such fellowship and such proximity, that's no excuse for being disrespectful. Are acting too loose, are too casual about who he is and what he is. Everybody pray it out loud. Say, oh, great Father God, reveal to me further who you are, what you are, your love, your grace, your knowledge, your wisdom, your power. I want to see and know to fully show your fear, your honor, your glory, for you are worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Our time's up, I think, in closing, I think. Philippians, the second chapter. How many know Philippians is in the New Testament? Philippians 2, let's look about verse 6 or so. It's describing what our Master did for us. Jesus, though he was God, and he was, still is, God, and in the form of God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. That's King James. He didn't think it was too much to ask of him to leave where he was and come down here to the footstool and become a human being. Now you talk about stooping low. And he was born in a barn. Right?
Yes.
In a stall. It talks about this. It said, he made himself of no reputation. Other translations say, he laid aside his mighty weight and glory, and he became like other men. He functioned and lived as a human being, just like me and you, with no unfair advantage. He didn't operate as God when he was here. He didn't stop being who he is. How did he do it? He's God. He, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was not a helpless victim. He said it out loud. He said, I've received this commandment from my Father. Nobody takes my life from me. I've got the command and the power and right to lay it down, and I got the power to take it up again.
Amen.
He was not a helpless victim in Paul. That's why Isaiah, looking into the future, said he opened not his mouth.
Right.
Why? If he had, he would have been delivered.
Right. Yeah.
Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How many know Jesus is everything? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That could be translated beings. Beings in heaven. Beings on earth. Beings under the earth. So there are beings in all three of these places. All we know about is on the surface. Verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You want to show respect to the Father? Show respect to Jesus.
Amen.
Hmm? You want to honor the Father? Acknowledge Jesus as Lord of all, Savior of all. And you'll please the Father. And you'll be honoring the Father. Keep going. Wherefore, my beloved, so he's still talking about, these are joined together, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Like I said, this is New Testament, right? Now, he did not say work for. No. This term actually is the same word that's translated in Ephesians, having done all to stand. Don't you think that's interesting? Having done all, it means work to the end. Stay with it all the way to the end. But how? With fear and trembling. Now that doesn't mean that every day of your life, you're scared you're going to miss it. That's the wrong kind of fear. Can you see that? So what's he talking about? It means you take this seriously. Right? You give it your full attention. And you are committed to finding his will and doing his will. And finishing his will. Because he didn't just save you to goof off for a few decades between now and heaven. Somebody say, he's got a job for me. There's a reason I'm here. Somebody says, well, I'm not a preacher. What's that got to do with it? There's all kind of jobs need to be done. I mean, we got hundreds and hundreds of people in teams all over these churches. That's just us. There's a place where you're needed, where what you can do helps and makes a difference. Well, I don't know what it is. You better get to finding out. That's what he means. With fear and trembling, what's the opposite of that? Oh, whatever. God knows where I am, I guess. If he wants me, he'll let me know. He did. In Philippians 2:12, he let you know. Right? So what? That you would not be flippant about it. That you would not be over casual about it and loose about it. But that you would realize, you would have an awakening. How many more years do I have on this planet? How many more days do I have? What is a wasted day? And what is a fruitful and a good day? Right? And you get serious. And you seek God. And you pray. Maybe you fast. And you get serious with fear. You approach it with fear, reverence, respect, and even some trembling. Going, God, I know life is short. I know there's so much that needs to be done. I know I can't do everything. I can't be everywhere. But you know where I'm supposed to be. And you know what I'm supposed to be doing. And here I am, Lord. Here I am. I am yours. I am yours to command. And you mean it. Are you, come on, y'all with me or not? You mean it. And if you will do this sincerely, He will show you. The sad thing is, many millions of church-going people, they're so busy with their life, they got no time for Him. They won't even ask. They won't even seek. They won't even check. And in a few days, they'll realize as they're leaving, as they're dying and breathing their last and leaving here, so many people think, well, I thought I'd have more time.
Yes.
That's being a fool. Right? Living down here like you're going to be here forever and acting like it doesn't matter if I waste swatches of 10 years at a time just chasing my own goofy dreams or something that somebody else. No, there is a God. And He has a plan. He knows you. He made you. He knows what He's put in you. What you're good at, what you're not good at. Where you fit, where you don't. And I'm not just preaching to the folks in this house or in Branson. Everybody online. Listen, brother, sister. Life is short. When He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's He talking about? Not being scared that you're going to miss it. Just being serious. And being fully committed. That we're going to find the will of God. And we're going to do the will of God. Right? We are not going to waste what life we have left. Notice the very next verse. I mean, immediately telling you that, the Lord tells you, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you with this. The very next verse. For it is God who does what? Works in you both to will. Man, I like that. I pray that over myself just pretty regularly. What do you mean? To will means to want to do it. To desire to do it. To want. Because there are times, if you're honest, your flesh don't want to do what it should do. Oh, but if you'll just be willing to be willing. If you'll be willing to get willing and say, God, help me out. Work in me. Both to will, and then what else?
To
do it. To will to do it, and to do it. What? What pleases Him? His good pleasure. Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise and thanks. We adore you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, glorious God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you got a few more minutes? This would be a perfect time, if we're serious about it, to take communion over it. Right? And to make a commitment. We're not going to be light, frivolous, foolish, like the world is about God. That doesn't mean we got to be too serious and never have any fun. Rejoice. Why you tremble? It's there in the Word. Everybody said out loud, then we're going to receive communion. Say, Father God,
I believe in You.
I believe in Your Son, Jesus. That You sent Him to the earth. And He went to the cross. And He paid for my sins. My failures. But that You have raised Him from the dead. And He's alive right now. King of kings. Lord of lords. Soon to come again. Jesus. I confess You, the Lord of my life. I receive all You have done for me to wash me, cleanse me, save me. Thank You, Lord. And as I receive communion, I commit to follow You with the rest of my life.
Help me
to redeem the
time
to realize
how few days are left,
how short the time
is,
and work in me
both to will
and to do
of your good pleasure,
that I may spend
my remaining
time
and strength
for your highest
and
best
uses
to your glory
and
to help other people.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen, amen.
You can be
seated. Just